is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Oh yeah, oh baby. Good afternoon. It's April 16, 2024. How's everybody doing?
You kidding me?
Oh.
I'm shot out of a cannon today.
Are you really?
I really am.
You had a nice little rap today, so you're ready.
I had a what?
A rap.
What do you mean a rap?
You saw it during the meeting.
Oh, W-R-A-P.
Yeah, not R-A-P.
Yeah, no, I had a W-R-A-P, but also, can I make a quick announcement?
Yeah.
Today, I launched the first episode of Cheap Heat, my wrestling podcast, as an indie venture. I'm no longer with the Bill Simmons people, The Ringer, Spotify. I'm out. I'm on my own. And I put up my first episode today. Wherever you find podcasts, search for Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg.
Nice.
It's a big yellow and black new logo.
Love it.
Would love for you to hit follow and give it a listen and support the independent, the future of the pod.
Why are you doing that at the beginning of the show? I mean, the audience grows as it goes on.
Oh, you thought that was the last time?
No, he's going to do it.
Once an hour today.
Yeah, once an hour. At the top of every hour.
It's
like Jimmy V, but for his podcast.
You know what's amazing, Don? We just had a half hour of going over everything we're talking. He never brought that up.
Because he didn't want it to get shot down.
Yeah, exactly. What if Michael goes, one cares about your damn podcast?
Don't ask for permission. Just apologize after.
Apologize later.
Yeah,
a lot of executives teach that.
And the other thing, too, since we're just airing things out, I'm in a really weird spot.
Oh, no.
Because somebody that I absolutely despised passed today.
Ooh.
And I feel bad because I'm older now, but Michael, of all the St. Louis Cardinals, I hated Tommy Herr, I hated Willie McGee, I hated John Tudor, but the guy that I hated the most is Whitey Herzog. The White Rat passed away today at 92, and it's sad because it's still my childhood, but Michael, like
he's
18, 19-year-old Don LaGreca. That's why it's weird. Like, Yankee fans hate the Red Sox, and now they hate the Astros. But still, in the division, you hate the Red Sox more than anybody else. But for Met fans, depending on your age, you know, some hate the Cubs going back to 69 and 84. You know, some hate the Braves. Some hate the Phillies. Some hate the Marlins for what they did to the Mets in 07 and 08. I can't muster enough hate. Well, all the teams that are in division now, the way I hated the St. Louis Cardinals in 87. Oh, my God, 87. Terry Pendleton, another piece of garbage.
Oh God,
I hated these guys. I hated them.
That's funny. I don't even think of him as a Cardinal.
But I think every Met fan of a certain age feels what I feel. And the leader of all these, Jack Clark. Oh, my God.
Jack Clark was such a good guy.
Michael, you're ruining it.
You're missing the point.
You're too close to it. I'm sure Whitey Herzog, he came up because he should have been the Met manager
back in the day. Michael, do you know Whitey at all?
I did not know Whitey. I knew Jack Clark. He played for the Yankees for a couple of years. He was a terrific guy.
Listen, I'm sure I would have no problem as a human being leaving.
You used to hate me. Now you love me.
Leaving my children to Willie McGee. Have them take care of him for a month. But I'm just talking about from a baseball standpoint. I just hated those Cardinals. Vince Coleman, it made me sick when he became a Met.
Ozzie Smith, you hate it?
No, you can't. You can't. Do the right thing.
You know what? It's
you can't hate.
It is odd that I didn't mention his name
because
there was something about the Wizard.
Yeah, it's that he's the Wizard.
All of them, with the exception of him,
Keith Hernandez.
Well, now you're kicking it old school Cardinals.
Yeah, that's
Mike. I had no problem with the 79 Cardinals. Once Keith became a Met. Come on, 85, Michael. That whole race to the end of the season, and then 87 where they took it away. I mean, I just hated those Cardinal teams, and he was the face of those guys. Whitey Herzog, the White Rat.
Quite an obituary you're putting out there.
But as you get older, you realize that was a time in my life where I really enjoyed the Mets and that time. So I feel bad.
Can I be honest with you, Michael?
But 18-year-old Don LaGreca was waiting for this day.
I'll be honest.
But 56-year-old Don LaGreca is sad.
I'll be honest. The nickname, the White Rat, it's not great on a day like today.
And Peter, so I can just circumvent the question. No, I wouldn't sign up for 92.
You would not take...
I want more. I want more.
You want more? I want than more. 92. I'm greedy.
Well, it's interesting because my mom's friend Faye turned 98. He said he'd sign for 98. So we're now we know.
We're finding the 92. Window.
So we're getting. So what is the actual year? Is it 98?
I think 98.
No, Michael, come on. Someone you get Harry? You get a Harry, you get a 95, 96, you're not taking it?
Nah, probably not, no.
I don't believe you. I actually don't believe you.
I need more.
You couldn't be that bit of bad a businessman, though. Because if this was a real business dealing where God is playing a game of would you take 95, Michael? And you look him in the face and go, I'm not willing to take 95. I'm rolling the dice. You know what happens the next second?
You die.
You drop dead at 74. And they go, well, listen, I offered you 95. You didn't think it was enough.
Yeah, see? You got to be careful.
Yeah,
Michael.
See?
Yeah! And that's what he'd say.
God, Todd Worrell, another one. Like, they just Todd keep coming, but at least
Todd Worrell just passed away?
No, I'm talking about Cardinals. But at least Howard Johnson had his number. I'm being taken back here to a really special time. My dad got me a phone, Peter, back when we actually had those tabletop phones, with the handle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I needed a new phone. He came back with a red phone. I said, I'm sending it back. I have a red phone. That's a Cardinal phone. That's red. That's
Knowing
Cardinal
red. Your dad, right?
Yeah.
He probably fought every fiber in his body not to smash the receiver against your face.
I'll tell you what happened. Now I got to expose the truth. I had that phone for several years.
Of course.
Because that was said. I was like, I'm not going back.
But here, my only question.
Man's man.
And no, but again, a lot, as we learn more about Don's dad, there's just puzzling information. The car has to be, cannot get less than half a tank. Making a phone decision, he decides to get the Nuke phone? I mean, that's the only reason you get the red phone.
I think that's what they handed to him and he walked out. I don't think he sat there.
You got a phone? He walked out and he said, hey, you got a phone?
Where's the phone? What's the one the closest to the register?
That's the one he bought.
If I get out of here a half a second quicker, we're going to use that one.
Because those extra seconds allow him to put another pizza box into a soda.
That's a great point by you.
Yeah.
He was a great man.
We're going to start with something that's confusing me.
Well, what's that?
And that's the reported love affair. Now, we don't know if it's true, but really reputable people are reporting that the Giants are going to trade up from 6 so they could get their hands on J.J. McCarthy.
Can't be.
That's what Peter Schrager, who's usually pretty locked in on the NFL Network, he said the Giants are trying to trade up to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy.
I pray.
And I thought about this, too. Just,
please.
I don't see it. There was a game... that Michigan played this year, he didn't throw a pass in the second half. That's the team that won a national championship on defense and the running game. And let's say that I'm dead wrong, right? And I'm not saying he's bad. I just don't see that he's a top 4 pick in the NFL draft. But here's the way I've broken it down, guys. And I don't want to be macabre or anything. I don't know. You guys could correct me if you think I'm wrong. I don't know if I'm still going to be doing a talk show when we find out that J.J. McCarthy is great. Now, let's say in 6 years he's just unbelievable. I mean, it's unlikely, as I'm closing in on 70, that I'll still be doing this. So I will not suffer the slings and arrows of all those that say you were wrong. But I'm going to double down. I think they're crazy. I think they're crazy.
What I'm confused at, Michael, or by... is this information. How does it help anybody in the Giants organization to tip their hand on what they're going to do? Other than maybe give misinformation and see what gets everybody excited. If they're locked in on J.J. McCarthy, then maybe there might be a few leaks that they like him. But why would they be telling anybody they're going to trade up to get him?
Well, I don't get it.
I don't buy any of this information, quite frankly. I don't. Did anybody have them taking Daniel Jones at 6 back when they did? Now, when they did, people freaked out. Maybe when they get close to the actual day of the draft. But when you're talking about trades, I guess you can't keep it a secret that you like somebody. I guess they see it. The combine comments are made. Eyebrows are raised during, performances and all that. But I just don't know why Joe Shane and the Giants organization, that's usually, pretty tight-lipped about things, are going to be just throwing out actual information that they're going to be trading up.
Well, you're right, Don. This is lying time. Why would you ever tell anybody the truth?
Now, the only time I can think of is I think Gettleman told anybody that would listen they were taking Barkley at 2.
Right.
But that didn't really harm them at all, I guess, because that's who they wanted and they were taking them at two, and they didn't have to worry about them going one because Cleveland wasn't going to take them. So I guess no harm, no foul. But in this situation, we were talking about making a trade for a quarterback that you may, that might drop lower to you at six where you don't have to make the trade. I just don't know why you'd be throwing that information unless you're trying to get people off the actual scent, which is you're not interested in him. You're going to take Neighbors at six, or you're going to trade, you know, down or something else, or take some quarterback you're not even thinking of. I just don't know how it behooves any of these organizations to tip their hand about a deal.
Let's listen to Booger McFarland.
Love
he was on Get Up, and he is kind of the same mindset as I am about J.J. McCarthy. Here's Booger.
If we are there next Thursday night and the name J.J. McCarthy is called before the name Drake May, what will you say?
I'll be shocked because there's no way you can convince me that J.J. McCarthy is the third best player in this draft. I don't think he's the fourth best player in this draft. And we're talking about drafts. And this quarterback, as high as number four, can we honestly say he's the fourth best player in this draft? Mm. And I know quarterbacks are going to go higher because of the supply and demand. I get all that. But just from a talent standpoint, you talk about the subjective and the objective and all that. But just from a pure talent trait standpoint, Drake May is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. I've seen him do it at a higher level at North Carolina than J.J. McCarthy.
And, you know, there's so many things out there, like Harbaugh's going out and saying he's the best quarterback in the draft. It behooves Harbaugh to say that. If somebody takes – he's got a quarterback. If somebody takes him in the top four, then there's going to be a better player that falls to him when the Chargers pick. But everybody's going gaga over this guy. From what? From his pro day when there wasn't a rush? I don't get it. Where's the film for Michigan? Where do you throw that much?
And listen, fans can get caught up, and that's where Tom Brady went, and he didn't play. Nobody thought Tom Brady was going to be any good. He couldn't even start at Michigan. And look, he became the greatest quarterback of all time. I would think general managers in the NFL who get hired and fired based on their knowledge, they're not going on that as a reason, are they? That would be stupid. So maybe they just see something. Or maybe it's all just smoke and mirrors. I don't know. There's a couple of things that Booger said that I agree with and disagree with. All right, I agree he's not the fourth most talented player in the draft, but that's not necessarily where players go in the draft. Quarterbacks are way more important. And if you love a quarterback, you might admit, hey, I think Neighbors is way more talented and might actually be a better pro as a wide receiver, but I like this quarterback and I need a quarterback. I'm going to take him higher. So it's not a talent contest all the time. It's who plays the position that is the most needed and who has that pick and what do they need when they make the selection. So if the Giants love J.J. McCarthy, Michael, then by all means make this move. But that's not making a statement that they think that McCarthy is a better, more talented college football player than Neighbors. It's something that they need.
Now, Daniel Jones met with the media and did his best Adam Gase imitation.
Oh, my God. It was disconcerting.
I mean, his eyes like bugging out. And he was asked, how would you feel if the Giants drafted a quarterback in the first round?
You know, my focus is what I'm doing here with my rehab. You know, kind of the same thing with Saquon. It's, you know, the nature of our business. It's a competitive league. So, you know, the best way to handle that, I think, is to focus on what I'm doing, focus on myself and making sure that I'm, you know, one, healthy and then ready to play good football. So, you know, that's what I can control. That's what I can do to help myself.
So he didn't answer it at all. Now, here's Mel Kiper Jr. on Get Up, and he is the biggest Daniel Jones fan outside
him.
Of Daniel Jones' family. Am I right, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more.
He said the Giants should draft a wide receiver.
Daniel Jones had a bad offensive line, no explosive receivers, and he got hurt because he had a bad team around him. I mean, give me a break. I mean, it's Daniel Jones nonsense. His critique of Daniel Jones like he's nothing is ridiculous. A couple years ago, he beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota at a heck of a year. You can't do much as a quarterback when you get no support, okay? So let's get him a receiver like Malik Neighbors or Romo Dunes. If they want to go back into the late first or jump up into the second and get a Bo Nix, if Brian Daboll wants to do that, fine, but you got to get the receiver at six and help this guy and give him a fighting chance this year to have some success.
I hope Natalie loves me half as much as Kiper loves Daniel Jones.
She doesn't.
She can't.
No.
I mean, he's not wrong about maybe Daniel Jones hasn't been given the greatest opportunity with that offensive line and with those weapons. When they made the playoffs at 9-7-1, they weren't a very talented team.
Yeah, but he also made it sound like they rolled into Minnesota and beat a powerhouse.
Well, they beat the team everybody wanted. Let's not forget that. It was a road playoff win, yes, no question. I'm not throwing it back. But if you remember going into the playoffs 2 years ago, everybody wanted Minnesota. Everybody thought that they were a paper tiger, and the Giants proved that. And then the Giants proved what they were the following week on the Philadelphia.
I was about to say, when Kuiper, and we love Mel, by the way, but when Mel does his whole thing, waxing poetic, he doesn't then mention what happened, Michael, to that Daniel Jones team the next week.
But let's be honest. But here's where Mel's not wrong, is that the Giants have an out at the end of this season. So doesn't it behoove them, if they're not in love with the quarterbacks and don't believe they can get the quarterback they want at six and don't want to trade up to find out if they can get one of the other quarterbacks, doesn't it behoove them to give Daniel Jones the best shot possible this season to find out whether you're in or out the final 2 years of the contract?
Well, you know, this has not been brought up, Don and Peter, and I think the Giants should be rooting for Daniel Jones to have a great year, and they pick up the other 2 years, because what quarterback that's really a good quarterback makes $40 million a year? I mean, that's in the rearview mirror now. He's in the middle of the pack.
Right.
They'd be getting a bargain if they got him in years 3 and 4 at $40 million. A bargain. And the best thing for them would be to take, I don't know that much about Bo Nix, but if you got a Bo Nix late in the first or early in the second, he could sit there for 3 years behind Daniel Jones. That's the best case scenario.
True.
To trade up for J.J. McCarthy, well, now obviously you're going to get a quarterback on a rookie contract, so it's going to be less than $40 million. But still, if Daniel Jones could do the job, and he said when he spoke to the media yesterday, nothing wrong with his neck. It was just a stinger. He said, I'm fine. I'm just rehabbing my knee. That's the way for Giant fans to root, that Daniel Jones is the answer.
Now, but I don't know how they feel about these quarterbacks. I mean, they just don't take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. And if you don't like Bo Nix, what, you now like him in the second round? I mean, you got to make a decision on whether you think the quarterback that you draft has a shot. If you don't think he has a shot, Michael, all of a sudden he doesn't have a better shot if you take him in the second, third, fourth round. Does he have a shot or not?
Now, if you take him in the second round, it costs you a lot less money.
Well, it costs you a lot less money, but if you don't like him, you don't like him. Now, if you think he's a work in progress and you think you could get there at some point, well, then you take him in the second round. But if you don't like him, Michael, you don't like him. So if you don't think he's got a future, then it really doesn't matter where you draft him. He's not going to make your team. So you can use that second round pick to get another weapon to help your quarterback that's making $40 million this year and be able to determine whether you want to keep him or not. Now, maybe they've already made that decision and they love one of these quarterbacks and it's a moot point. But if they don't love these quarterbacks and they think Daniel Jones is still an audition, if he can be healthy, an audition for the final 2 years of that contract, then give him the weapons to see if he can go out there and do it. But if they like one of these quarterbacks, like Ernie Accorsi loved Eli, Michael, then aren't you obligated to do whatever you can to get that quarterback? But I don't know what the Giants are thinking.
If that quarter, I heard a month ago that they love Drake May. I don't think they're going to get up to three to get Drake May. So if they move up to four, they're moving up to four for a guy who didn't throw the ball that much in college. Again, they see things that we don't see. I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, obviously, if you're trading from 6 to 4, you don't think he's making it to 6. So there's other teams that obviously believe in J.J. McCarthy, too. Otherwise, you do what they did with Daniel Jones. You wait until he drops to you at 6 and then select him. But they must think that somebody is going to gobble him up. They got to get to 4.
Remember when they selected Jones afterward, everybody said, I think the Giants had a second pick in the first round. The Giants could have waited until 17. He still would have been available. I mean, everybody's sending out fake smoke signals. Maybe the Giants are sending out fake smoke signals about J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they don't want him.
Well, like I said, Gettleman had no problem telling everybody in the world that they wanted Barkley because it didn't matter. They were going to take him. He was the number 2 pick, and Cleveland wasn't going to take him. So you can be honest. But I don't know why they would be telling you what they're going to do here. You've got to get a trade. You've got to hope that he's available when you get there at 4. I would think he would be. But I just don't know why they would tip their hand. Loose lips in the organization, and nobody can keep their mouth shut. And we saw what happened when things got loose with the defensive coordinator. Ended up losing his job, right? Wink Martindale. So obviously the Giants, I don't think, are telling tales out of school, unless they're just trying to give misinformation and misdirect people.
Well, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Yankees snap their modest losing streak, first time they've lost two in a row, in Toronto tonight against the Blue Jays at 7:07. And obviously, coverage starts at 6 on YES. And the Mets try to make it three straight against the Pirates in Citi Field at 7:10. No basketball, no hockey locally tonight. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. I got an email late last night that made me laugh out loud. And I don't laugh out loud because I think when you like make sounds when you're alone, it's a sign that you're cracking up.
It's unbecoming.
But not even that. It's a sign you're cracking up.
But I don't know, Michael, to laugh out loud unless something's just really, really funny. So I believe you.
No, but I didn't. I almost laughed out loud.
Okay.
But a guy emailed. I'm not going to give his name because I don't want to embarrass him. He's a really good guy in the business. He said, can you give me an email for John Sterling? And
yeah, what?
John Sterling's email? The guy, he abhorred computers. I'm convinced that one of the reasons he wanted to get off the road, that, you know, a lot of his preparation, a lot of his entertainment when he, you know, in the afternoon, was he would read the newspapers. Hotels don't have newspapers anymore.
No.
They don't. They don't even, you know, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, every hotel, you'd wake up, there'd be a USA Today outside your door. Doesn't exist anymore. Local papers, they don't go, they're not in hotels anymore. And it just used to drive John nuts. Nuts. And so...
Care to tell us what it would sound like? I mean...
I don't understand. Aren't there newspapers anymore? Anyway, so I was at a football game at Yankee Stadium, and John took his kids there, and they asked me, what do we get him for Christmas? I said, why don't you get him an iPad? This way, he can read the newspapers that he loves so much and books on the iPad. Great idea. They got him an iPad. He never opened it, ever.
Never opened it.
He was just too intimidated by it. Didn't want to do it. And, you know, the last couple of years, anytime he was on the road, it just drove him crazy that he could not get a newspaper. And this is a guy asking me, do you have an email address for John? No, John doesn't email.
You know, it's impressive. He got in just in time to be able to make it without emailing.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Like, he was 50 when he got the job 34 years ago.
But right? He had jobs before that, too.
No. But when he got this job, like if he had gotten this job and he was, like, Michael, if he was 10 years younger when he got this job, he would have had to be emailing at some point. Like, he just is old enough that it's acceptable that he doesn't email. Like, right now, if you're in your late 60s and you're still in the workforce or early 70s, you're emailing. No one's not emailing.
Right. And he never, ever would make the adjustment. The iPad, if you want an iPad, I'm sure he could sell it on eBay if he knew what eBay was. Because it never left the box. And the kid said to me, I thought you told me to get him an iPad. I said, you guys have to set it up for him. But he wouldn't do it. Now, Don promised that I was going to tell a story yesterday, and we never got a chance to do it. So I'll tell it right now about John.
All right.
We're on a flight, a charter flight with the Yankees, leaving Minnesota. It was a stormy night. Lightning. And it was a bad flight. Bad. Bumpy. Lightning crashing outside the plane, like the night turning into day. And it got so bad that, you know, and I do have to set this up. John always read a book on the plane, has always read books on the plane. Fiction. He loves fiction. So he's holding, you know, a paperback mystery novel and he's reading. And because it's so bad on the plane, the oxygen masks drop out of the ceiling. People are screaming. Oh my God, the Latin players, ay Dios mio. It was just unbelievable. I mean, we thought that was it. John just casually swipes away the mask and goes, really? Never panicked. Never thought the plane was going to crash. Refused to even address the oxygen mask and just continued to read. And I thought that was John in a nutshell.
He is so different than you.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
In so many ways.
That's why I won't live a long life, and John has lived a very long life, because he doesn't worry about anything. Nothing worries him.
Right, because like in the movie Say Anything, there's a scene where they're rehashing. She's getting on a plane, and she's afraid the plane's going to crash, and she hears a baby cry. And she says, well, this plane's not going to crash. There's a baby on it. And it made her still, and then she was able to get on the plane. Is that like John? Well, there's no plane that would ever crash with me on it.
John Sterling.
It's just John doesn't worry about things. I mean, really, I said this on Yes yesterday. I've never seen a guy, total absence of malice. All he cares about is just to enjoy his life. Just don't get in his way to enjoy his life.
And I guess what you're saying is, in the simplest terms, doing Yankee games kind of gotten in the way of him enjoying his life. And maybe that's why he had to step away.
He didn't like the trip to Yankee Stadium. He loved being in the booth and announcing the game. Now, if you listen to his call of the Stanton home run, could have been 35 years ago.
Yeah.
The excitement, the voice.
He sounded great.
It's all there. It's all there. We're not quite sure if we could play that call because it's owned by FAN, but what are they going to do, sue us?
No, we played it during the game. We don't care. We showed no fear, zero fear.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You had just left for the game. We played it.
Yeah, we just credited them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
By the way, no big deal. I'm friends with the program director.
That is true. I'm very close.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll take a lot of phone calls today. So we set up the Giants. Schrager saying that they're trying to move up to four to get J.J. McCarthy. I don't get it. But I also understand Dom wants to tell you something about BetMGM.
Hey, baseball fans. Go yard with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. All season long, they're offering top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to place same-game parlays, special boosts, so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Whether you want to combine multiple bets for a chance at a bigger payout or place a live bet as the game unfolds, BetMGM has all of the home run betting options you could need. Download the BetMGM app, head to the ballpark, and get your piece of the MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM.com for terms. Plus 21 years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Subject to eligibility requirements, rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper. Last night, Luis Gil pitched 5 innings and gave up 3 runs on 3 hits with 7 walks and 6 strikeouts. It was the first time that box score line had ever been done in the more than 1.1 million Major League Baseball pitching lines in the regular season or postseason since 1901. So that combination of hits and walks and strikeouts and runs,
weird.
Never before. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients create a winning game plan to transform knowledge into action for your business. Check out Eisner Amper Solutions, insight resources at EisnerAmper.com/solutions. That came from James Smythe, our brilliant information guy at Yes. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Queens. John.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks.
I just want to make a comment. What is your opinion, Michael, of Soto and Judge both hitting 60 home runs this year?
Well, they don't have many home runs right now. Soto's really not a home run hitter, John. But with Judge, you know, if he goes off in May and June, I guess he can approach it. He's approached it before, but
I mean, Soto certainly can. He certainly can hit home runs,
but he's not a home run hitter.
But he's not hitting 50 home runs. What's his high?
Six. I think it's like 38.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more good for your 35 a year.
Let's go to David in Connecticut. David.
Oh, hi guys! It's an absolute honor. I love the show.
Thanks.
Don Sterling was one of a kind, a true showman, and he will be greatly missed. I just have a quick point and a couple of questions for Michael. You know, he never let Susan Waldman do any play-by-play, even two or three innings a game, and that kind of irked me. Like, would it have killed him to let her do some play-by-play? And then, you know, you got the TV job, I guess, over him. Was he harboring secret jealousy, or he was gracious and very happy for you? And do you have anything, like, planned as a tribute this Saturday? Like, if the Yankees win, are you going to use his trademark phrase, like, the Yankees, duh, Yankees win? Or do you have anything, like, planned as a tribute for him on the air, or do you think that would be out of place?
No, I was actually going to do, if Judge hit a home run, I was going to do his call yesterday. And if the Yankees won, I was going to say Yankees win, the Yankees win. So at the end of the show, before I threw it to Bob and Jack in the studio, I did say the Yankees didn't win. The Yankees didn't win. So that was a little homage to him. He was not thrilled when I left for TV. I told the story yesterday, David. He knew that we had a great thing going 10 years, and it was fun. Every day was great. We felt every broadcast was entertaining. And when I first told him, he was unhappy. He thought I was, like, deserting him. But then he became, you know, very happy for me. But his initial reaction was that he was a little upset. He was a little hurt. He was hurt. And, you know, I explained to him this was an opportunity for me. And I said yesterday, you know, if I would have done, you know, been John's sidekick for, it would have been 33 years, because this is my 23rd year on Yes, I would have been thrilled. You know, I was, you know, being the Yankee announcer was a dream job. But when the Yes situation happened, I grabbed it. And that was one of the few times I did something that, also taking the Yankee job and leaving a good newspaper job was, I didn't know if I'd be good enough on radio. That was a little bit of a gamble. And then leaving a radio job that I could have had for, you know, 50 years maybe to, you know, do a startup. Yes, that was a little bit of a gamble too. So John wasn't thrilled. He felt that I was deserting him, but quickly that stopped. Let's go to Dylan in Levittown. Dylan.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
I'm such a big fan. I'm 23. I've been listening since I was 15, so I'm just a little nervous. I'm so excited to be on.
You're
I love
good.
All three of you.
What's up?
I love all three of you. So I had a quick Yankee point for Michael, but I just want to, before that, I just want you guys to know how much you make me laugh. So usually I work out a lot when I listen to you guys, so like, and I remember exactly where I was. So I was bench pressing, right? It was like a year ago. I don't know if you guys have the drop, because I don't think it was a drop, but I don't know if you guys will remember, but so somewhat they got, Michael and Don got into a little argument, so I was benching in the middle of it, and then so you guys come back from break, and Michael goes, I just want everyone to know what kind of vipers I work with, and he plays the clip of Don mumbling piece of garbage under his breath before you left for break, and that almost made me drop the whole bar.
Oh, that's dangerous. I'm glad
you gotta be careful.
I didn't, but that was just so funny because Don mumbled that, and you guys just cracked me up. But, Michael, I wanted to ask you, I know that you said you're not worried. I'm a big Yankee fan. I've just been watching him every day. He just, Aaron Judge, you're just not concerned at all, because I just see, like, he's just missing pitches down the middle, like, that he would have crushed last year, and it's just weird because I know that he's not hot yet, but I just never seen him really like the pitch down the middle yesterday that he swung through. Like, I feel like he would have crushed that last year, and I just hope that he's just not secretly hurt and his abs are hurting or something. And he
of production, Dylan, is not a concern. It's only a concern if it's a manifestation of something that's wrong. And everybody says that there's nothing wrong, so I have to go with that there's nothing wrong. I believe that he will find it. He did not get enough at bats in spring training. That's what it comes down to. And I think he's still, you know, kind of trying to find his swing, trying to find his timing. So, no, I'm not concerned. The only way I would be concerned is if he's hurt. Let's go to Jason in Midwood.
Sorry, that was Inwood to Northern Manhattan. I don't know if anybody knows.
Ah, Inwood.
Inwood. Inwood. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry, Jace.
Mike, it's all good. Mike, Peter, the truth, the reason why you guys are the way you are. I'm kidding. But I love him. I can't believe you're speaking so foul about J.J. McCarthy. I wouldn't say foul. You're not seeing it. And I just want to point out, today was the first time you mentioned John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh, since he's been at Stanford, has always had a stud quarterback. He's at Stanford, he had Andrew Luck. You want to the 49ers?
You mean Jim Harbaugh, yeah.
Jim Harbaugh.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm on First Avenue in traffic.
No, you're all right.
Caleb Kaepernick.
Colin
Kaepernick. Yep, okay, we'll get it. Then he goes to Michigan, and he had a quarterback who was their starter, and then he brings in J.J. McCarthy. That was his guy. They go to the national championship. All I'm saying is that Jim Harbaugh is the guy that I think everyone should listen to, and not all the gurus and all the different people talking about them. Yeah, he didn't pass a lot, but what quarterback in college does?
A lot of them do now. I mean, it's completely different than it used to be. A lot of quarterbacks pass. So,
I
respect Jim or John Harbaugh, both of them. But
do you respect Caleb Kaepernick?
I don't even know Caleb Kaepernick.
Yeah. He was nervously Malone. He fought through it. He got his message across.
He did. I didn't agree with it. And I think the fact of the matter is you don't expect that big-time players who people are talking about getting drafted in the first round would get the ball taken out of their hands in big spots. And that's what it seemed like the deal is with J.J. McCarthy.
Now, if you want to take the other view,
go ahead.
They had a great running game, so why throw? And you know what? It worked out. They won a national championship. And as far as Harbaugh, talking him up, any good coach from a college program is going to talk up.
Yeah, assuming they had a good relationship.
Yeah, they probably had a great relationship. So he's talking him up. And when do the Chargers select? Is it five?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if he could get somebody to move up and take J.J. McCarthy with the fourth pick, and there's four quarterbacks before he picks, he has a choice of anybody then. He has the choice of Marvin Harrison Jr. to team up with his quarterback with the Chargers. So, yeah, I mean, there could be ulterior motives. But, of course, college coaches that get along with players are going to talk them up. Makes them look better.
Yeah, but you're still talking about a guy that completed over 72% of his passes for basically 3,000 yards in 15 games, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, high completion percentage. It was a team trying to win a national championship, not trying to groom a quarterback for the pros. So he's a winner, big-time program, and I guess general managers see something in him that they believe that when he takes the next step in the right system, that it could work. So we only know by what we see during the games, Michael, but why do we see quarterbacks after they've already played their entire college career jump up in the first round based on the combine, based on their throw days or their pro day? Because I don't know if they put that much stock into what they actually see on the field during the games, because they realize, hey, that's a different system than we're going to run. They obviously got bigger fish to fry than worrying about their quarterback being ready for the pros. You see through that, I guess. That's their job to see through that. That's a big jump from college to the pros. And we've seen guys win Heisman trophies like Gino Toretta not translate into the NFL. So it could be the reverse, all right? He looks pedestrian to us by the naked eye, but these guys must see something that you don't even see a first-round quarterback, Michael. They obviously see a first-round quarterback, and some of them sounds like they see a top-five quarterback.
Well, here's one game that jumped out at me. Now, remember, this is a game where Harbaugh was suspended, so he was not coaching.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Penn State. Michigan led 14-9 at the half. McCarthy was 7 of 8 for 60 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions in the first half. All right? Then in the second half, they ran 32 straight times. Never passed. Never. Now, you want to look at the game against Bama in the semifinal? 17-27, 221 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions, a rating of 168.4. He threw 713 passes for Michigan, only threw 11 interceptions. So, I mean, there's good and there's bad, but when you're playing a Big Ten school and you were 7 of 8 in the first half and the coach will not allow you to throw the ball,
well,
that's a little bit startling, don't you think?
But is it not allowing you to throw, or, hey, we don't have to do it? We've got the we can win the game the way that we're built to win the game. Because again, he only threw four interceptions, and three of them came in one game against Bowling Green, and that came in week three. So from week four through 15, he threw one interception. So and he still threw, because I guess after the bowl, that was the third game. So he had thrown seven touchdown passes and three interceptions. He ended up with 22-4. And he had some big games against Michigan State, 287, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Had a big quarterback rating. Ran the ball fairly well, too. So, I'm saying is, Michael, I'm not telling you that I see anything different than you see. But, obviously, there are people that are paid to see beyond just the statistics and what we just watch on television. They've got all 22s. They see the combine. They watch the pro days. They talk to everybody under the sun. They must see something that translates to the NFL.
They have to. I'm not doubting them. And I'm doubting my eyes because I can't believe that I don't see it.
They were saying it last week about the commies, J.J. McCarthy. And now it seems like it's moved over to the Giants. It's like he's like the weird boogeyman floating around the first round. That it seems like, and maybe everyone will be wrong, but it seems like every fan base that he gets rumored to be going to goes, no, not us.
But how has he moved up? Would you admit that throughout the entire season, and even just after the season, there wasn't very little movement? It was, all right, he probably might be a late first round pick, might be the worst of the possible quarterbacks selected in the first round. And without playing a game, he is elevated to where he possibly could be taken fourth overall. So obviously they look at things beyond the games.
But you would admit one thing, though, Don.
Go ahead.
They're usually wrong. Most quarterbacks are epic failures that are taken in the first round.
Right, and everyone talks about them, and they all get speculation, and most of them turn out to be duds.
But it's wrong the other way, too.
Yes, true. You're right.
That Joe Montana could be taken third overall, and Russell Wilson could be taken third overall.
Third round.
And that Dan Marino can drop way down to late in the first round. Yeah, maybe it was because of the cocaine rumors and all that, but the point is that they get it wrong both ways. It's not an exact science. But the guys that are paid and their jobs are on the line to make these selections. Listen, jobs are won and lost based on taking quarterbacks, Michael. So, yep. And they're paid to know this. So there must be something that they see. And I'd love to maybe talk to Mike Tannenbaum or any other general manager. Tell us some of the things they might be looking at with this guy that we just don't notice or we don't see or we don't look at.
Well, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Please mention I told you to stop by. You'll get the Michael K treatment. Well, the hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They will contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose the weight the natural way. Quickly and safely, call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let me give you a very quick diamond note brought to you by London Jewelers. I saw this news today, and I felt a lot older, but very happy.
Yes.
Jack Leiter, Al Leiter's son, who I knew when he was an infant, has been called up to the Texas Rangers, and he is going to make the start on Thursday. I'm thrilled for Jack and thrilled for Al and Lori. It's unbelievable. I can't wait for the Rangers to face the Yankees because Jack Leiter and Anthony Volpe were unbelievably close to Del Barton. They both were drafted by the Yankees, but Jack decided to go to Vanderbilt. And Anthony, who was committed to Vanderbilt to go with Jack, decided to sign with the Yankees because they picked him in the first round. Now, Al had told all major league teams, don't take him. He's going to Vanderbilt. But the Yankees took a shot and took him, I believe, in the 20th round. And they would have given him bigger money, but Al and Jack had decided they was going to go to college, so he went to Vanderbilt. Then he was drafted in the first round by the Texas Rangers, and I think he got like $10 million as a bonus, $9 million. So both of them played their cards differently. They both played it well. I can't wait till that moment when they face each other. It's just amazing, but congratulations to Jack Leiter, hard-throwing right-hander. And again, I've known he's... You know, he used to be around the ballpark. He was a little boy, and then he came up to the booth when Al and I worked together at Yes when he was 9 or 10 years old. So I've known him since he was a little boy, and now he's going to be a big leaguer on Thursday. So congratulations to Jack and the Leiter family. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Let's go to Steve in the car. Steve.
Hey guys, how are you doing? Good afternoon. Just a quick thought about John Sterling. I grew up with radio, no TV, and my brothers and I would listen to him. We used to have our mitts and baseball bats and literally pretend to be Andy Pettit and to be, pretend to be Mo. It was absolutely incredible. And just growing up with him from my younger years to teenage and then married and having my kids listen to him, he's going to be missed, but it's such a warm, fuzzy voice and feeling and such a comfort. It's incredible. And Justin Shackle is great, but like the first time I heard him step in, I'm like, okay, I have to prepare myself for the eventuality that John's not going to be around. So I just wanted to share with that. Only good, fuzzy memories.
Well,
heads up. A nice way to say it. You wanted to say something, Peter?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Bill in Queens. Bill.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Funny John Sterling story. About 12 years ago, I'm at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore for a fireman's convention. There's a million people on the elevators. It's the middle of the afternoon. And I get to the elevator bank, and there's one of those men's toiletry kits. And it's jam-packed, overflowing of papers, but nobody's standing there. With my family, I go through there to see if it's a name. I hear a voice behind me. That's my bag. Now I'm embarrassed. My kid's looking at me like, what are you doing, Dad? It was John Sterling's bag, just to what you said, Michael. He doesn't believe in computers. The thing was just jam-packed with papers. And my kid was like, what are you doing, Dad? Thanks for taking my call.
That's you so got good. It, Bill.
Yeah, that's my bag.
John always had a toiletry bag that he carried, and he had everything of any import in it. You know, for the years I worked with him, it was an Atlanta Hawks bag, amazingly enough. And then finally, somebody got him a Yankee bag, and he carried a Yankee bag. But that was, you know, some people carry around a Merce. Some people just use their pockets. But John always had his pens, everything in that toiletry bag. All the time. All the time. Let's go to Frank in Levittown. Frank. Frank.
Yes.
Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
I have a question that I don't think anyone has asked you. Why do they allow to catch a ball that's 3-4 inches out of the strike zone, and he brings it into the strike zone, and the catcher and the umpire calls it a strike? That's not right fair to the batter. And nobody says anything about that.
Well, I mean, you're just trying to fool the umpire into making the call for you. I mean, it's the umpire's fault. It's not the catcher. They're just doing what believe me, that's how catchers are chosen now, how they frame.
That's framing, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, whether it's not fair, blame the umpire. He messed it up. I still don't understand how a frame could get an umpire. Because I was told by several people in baseball, the call should be made in the umpire's mind when it crosses the plate, not when it's caught. Where it's caught and where the glove moves, but umpires continuously they fall victim to the frame, and that's why people that frame pitches, they make so much money. They are considered invaluable. Now they're going to be completely worthless when they do a robotic ump all of these skills that are now rewarded with contracts are not going to be skills at all that will be rewarded, because the robotic hump will tell you, no, the computer says that that was a strike or that was a ball.
You know, I heard they're actually also they're going to have, Michael, an Angel Hernandez robot. That's
no,
just,
I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah,
did you hear this?
Yeah, I read it somewhere online. They said no matter what, if it's 4 inches outside the strike zone, still a strike. Special.
Wow, what a strange algorithm that is.
Yeah. Mm. Now, by the way, I will admit, I do sort of enjoy the art of framing.
Really? You've never told us that. We've known each other a long time. You never told us how you love framing.
Well, listen, it's a random skill that I appreciate. Now, whether an umpire should perpetually be duped by it is in the eye of the beholder. But I do think it's sort of a cool thing that I kind of will miss to some degree when we go to robot umps.
Well, I don't know if we're ever going to go fully to robot umps, so I think framing, I guess, will always have some place, but in certain times you're going to be able to challenge those calls.
And then the framing won't matter. That'll be interesting too.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that's kind of like a fun challenge to watch. As far as challenges go and like ways to use the challenge in sports, I think actually challenging a pitch and seeing whether or not the ball actually crossed the plate as a strike versus whether the catcher moved it would be a fun challenge for a viewer to watch at home.
I love it. I love
you. Peter, love hearing me nerd out. You love hearing me nerd out on baseball.
You are really nerding out to the point that I'm disinterested. It's amazing.
Wow. Now, Michael, listen, I don't know if you know this, by the way. I don't know if you've heard the news.
What?
My Cheap Heat podcast has a new home.
No, I didn't hear this.
Yes, wherever you find podcasts, if you've wondered what's... I want to hear Peter's wrestling podcast, but I can never find it because it's buried deep within The Ringer. What is that? Well, now I'm no longer with The Ringer. I'm out on my own. Search for Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg, a beautiful black and yellow logo, and come along for the ride.
Now, when we get back, I mean, there's obviously questions that have to be asked on.
Oh.
About the divorce, divorce.
You want to dig into the dirt here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It wasn't mutual.
Hey, well, listen, you're letting me get my plugs. I got to do what I got to do. All right.
Tell us about FanDuel first.
Oh, sure. That I can definitely do. In fact, so much so I take joy and have a promo code. The NBA play-in tournament is here. It starts tonight, by the way, guys. And it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made. How about the Warriors game for tonight, for example? Maybe you want to bet Steph points. Maybe you want to bet... for the Lakers, you want to bet some LeBron points, first basket score. It's all there. Just go to FanDuel.com/Peter to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.